In a conversation with a friend who's an atheist? Stop by the Utah Christian Research Center to see our selection of books that may be of help. The Utah Christian Research Center is open Wednesday through Saturday at 10 a.m. at 579 West Galena Park Place in Draper. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Yesterday, we began looking at an article that was in the February 2024 edition of the Liahona magazine. It was titled, The Lasting Joy of Gospel Living. The subtitle says, Enduring joy comes by enduring in the gospel of Jesus Christ and helping others do the same. This article was written by D. Todd Christofferson, a member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. So he would be an apostle in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He began his piece by talking about the Garden of Eden. And he says, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve lived in a state of innocence. Had they remained in that condition, they would have, quote, had no joy, for they knew no misery, doing no good, for they knew no sin. And he's citing from 2 Nephi 2:23. And in yesterday's show, we kind of dissected that a little bit, showing how in Mormonism, they almost make that idyllic state that Adam and Eve lived in the Garden of Eden, is almost like a bad thing. And what we were pointing out is that what it describes in 2 Nephi chapter 2, that is referenced by Mr. Christofferson, where it talks about how they would have remained in the Garden of Eden, all things which were created must have remained in the same state in which they were after they were created, and they must have remained forever and had no end. This is verse 22 in 2 Nephi chapter 2, and it almost makes it sound like that's a bad thing, but really, those are good things. The bad things happened after the fall. And of course, Mormonism is trying to show us how you can get back into this joy. And of course, you have to do it through the restored gospel that is found only in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Now, we're going to revisit 2 Nephi chapter 2 a little later on, but we want to move on in this article. And on page 5, there's a subheading titled Finding Joy.
He writes, because of his perfect love for us, our Heavenly Father is eager to share his perfect joy with us, both now and in eternity. That has been his motivation in everything from the beginning, including his glorious plan of happiness and the sacrifice of his only begotten Son to redeem us. God does not try to impose joy or happiness on us, but he teaches us how to find it. He also tells us where joy cannot be found. Quote, wickedness is not and never was happiness, end quote, from Alma 41:10. It is by his commandments that our Heavenly Father reveals to us the path to joy.
Now, what he's doing here is he's making reference to the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 10 through 11. He introduces that later on, but he's kind of leading us up to that when he says it's by his commandments that our Heavenly Father reveals to us the path to joy. Then he goes on to cite Russell M. Nelson, the 17th president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
And here's what Nelson said. Here is the grand truth. While the world insists that power, possessions, popularity, and pleasures of the flesh bring happiness, they do not. They cannot. What they do produce is nothing but a hollow substitute for the blessed and happy state of those who keep the commandments of God. And he got that from Mosiah 2:41 in the Book of Mormon. Nelson goes on and says, the truth is that it is much more exhausting to seek happiness where you can never find it. However, when you yoke yourself to Jesus Christ and do the spiritual work required to overcome the world, he, and he alone, does have the power to lift you above the pull of the world. And then Christofferson says, thus, lasting joy is found in keeping the commandments of God, and the commandments of God are found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. but it is our choice.
Now, I think this is a case, Eric, where you can see some truth mixed with a lot of overlying error, because we're not downplaying the fact that we should, as Christians, keep the commandments, and we do find joy in keeping the commandments. You see, the biggest difference between keeping the commandments according to Mormonism and keeping the commandments according to the New Testament is the Latter-day Saint has to keep the commandments, whereas in the New Testament, we as Christians get to keep the commandments. The LDS people are given a whole bunch of commandments that we do not find anywhere in the Bible, and that becomes problematic. As Christians, we are given instructions as to how we are to live, and many times those instructions on how we should live are contrasted with how the world lives, and of course the admonition is, don't emulate the world. Let me just give you an example here. We have in 2 Timothy chapter 3, where Paul says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power." And we are admonished to stay away from such people. And what Paul is doing is saying, look, you see this bad example out there. We are not to be like that. So you take every one of those descriptors that Paul gives and ask yourself, what's the opposite of that? Those are the commandments that we should be keeping, that we should be following. However, we would say as Christians, that's a part of our sanctification. It's not a requirement in order to receive salvation. It's something that we already have, and this is how it works out. Kind of like what James is telling us in chapter 2. So we are supposed to live a certain type of life. We don't deny that. I know sometimes Latter-day Saints like to stereotype us and say things like, oh, well, you believe you're saved by grace, that means you can go out and kill people. Well, if you're a new creature in Christ, I would hope that's probably not an emotion that you have in you, and you would know that that is not going to be pleasing to God, so that would not be something that you would want to entertain.
Bill, if a Latter-day Saint says we must keep the commandments, we have to understand what you just described. Certainly, I'm sure they would hold to once you describe all that. But I think they're thinking a lot more that we wouldn't be thinking about. Let me give you a few examples. Latter-day Saints believe that they have to do temple work. They have to qualify to be able to become temple worthy, to be able to do the work not only for themselves, but for their deceased ancestors. Hot drinks, they're certainly not allowed to drink coffee, tea, they're not allowed to have alcohol, smoke. Now, you might say those are things that you shouldn't do. You can hold to all of that. But as far as the idea of hot drinks, there's no qualification in the Bible that says you're not allowed to have coffee or tea. How about the rules on the Sabbath? We're supposed to honor the Sabbath day, it does say, but Mormonism has turned it into you can't do this, you can't do that. You can't go shopping, you can't do any recreation. One leader even said, well, you can rest, but you can't take a nap. The rules are based on whatever that individual says. Attending meetings would be another one that people would say you have to go to Sunday service. And also, depending on who you are, if you're an Aaronic priesthood holder, you have to go to the Aaronic priesthood meetings. Those are commandments that are required. How about listening to the prophet? The prophet says what you're supposed to believe, and no matter what, you are supposed to hold to that, even if it goes against what the Bible teaches. So there are rules and regulations in Mormonism that they would hold to as far as keeping commandments that we would not hold to.
It says in this paragraph that Christofferson gives us, lasting joy is found in keeping the commandments of God, and the commandments of God are found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, of course, when he says gospel of Jesus Christ, you have to understand he's referring to the restored gospel as it's understood by Latter-day Saints. And he says, but it is our choice. Now, let's go back to 2 Nephi chapter 2, because I think it's important to look at that because he brings it up earlier on in this article. And if we look at 2 Nephi chapter 2, this is what we learn. This comes right after the portion that he cites where it says, Adam fell that men might be, and men are that they might have joy. Remember, Mormonism teaches that Adam could not procreate until after the fall. And in yesterday's show, I read you what could be one of the reasons why. According to Russell M. Nelson, Adam and Eve did not have blood circulating in their veins. And we know that blood is necessary to go through with the procreative act. Maybe that's why they couldn't. They needed that blood circulating in their veins. But in verse 26, we learn a lot more about this concept as far as this choice that Christofferson talks about.
It says, and the Messiah cometh in the fullness of time, that he may redeem the children of men from the fall. And because that they are redeemed from the fall, they have become free forever, knowing good from evil, to act for themselves and not to be acted upon, save it be by the punishment of the law at the great and last day, according to the commandments which God hath given. Verse 27, wherefore, men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given them, which are expedient unto man, and they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediator of all men, and mediator is capitalized, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and power of the devil, for he seeketh that all men might be miserable like unto himself.
Let me go back. And they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediator of all men, or to choose captivity and death. Now remember, in the passage before then, it says that they are redeemed from the fall. Now there was a man who lived between around 354 and 418. His name was Pelagius, and he came forth with a doctrine that's known today as Pelagianism. Pelagius was a heretic. He was excommunicated from the Christian church for what he believed. What is Pelagianism in a nutshell, Eric?
Well, according to one definition, it's a theological position that holds that original sin did not taint human nature and that humans by divine grace have free will to achieve human perfection.
Does it not sound like that's what the Book of Mormon is describing? I mean, if you're redeemed from the fall, and that definition said that humans are not tainted by the fall, and then you have the ability to do what? What does it say?
And by divine grace, have free will to achieve human perfection.
Okay, and they are free to choose liberty and eternal life. Now, here's what's interesting. It talks about eternal life here in the Book of Mormon, but is that talking about exaltation in the celestial kingdom? It's kind of hard to give it that definition because exaltation in the celestial kingdom is not something that's taught in the Book of Mormon. That comes about later on. So I'm sure that this phrase, eternal life, probably had a different meaning at the time than 1830 and the church was started. Unless you do a type of presentism where you read into what you believe now, I don't see how you get this to mean eternal life is exaltation in the celestial kingdom of God, because this is not something that is taught in the Book of Mormon. In tomorrow's show, we're going to continue this thought because we have to get down to at least verse 29 before it starts to make a little bit more sense. We hope that you'll come back as we look at this in a little more detail in tomorrow's program.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.